You're listening to WITF. The intense storms that cause flash floods are likely to become more common in Pennsylvania with climate change, and they're happening outside historical floodplains. Old infrastructure can make the problem worse, and in some cases, it's hiding even more issues. State Impact Pennsylvania's Rachel McDevitt reports on one town that is looking for answers to its new flooding problems.
So you can still see where the like watermarks were.
Wow.
Yeah, so all that was like watermarks.
Samantha Sharp pauses on the stairs to her basement in Middletown to point out the line where floodwater finally stopped rising in July 2017. It's just shy of the basement ceiling. Water had seeped in from the walls and floor, then gushed back through the family's sump pumps when storm sewers got overwhelmed. This lower level used to be a hangout spot with a pool table and kitchenette. That's all gone.
Our water heater was back here in the corner, and it actually lifted it, snapped the line, so it was, that alone was helping flood it.
The only important things the Sharps keep in their basement now are the two sump pumps and a dehumidifier. They're willing it to stay dry. Samantha's mother, Deb Sharp, didn't think about flooding when she and her husband bought the cottage-style home in 1996.
It just felt like home. When I walked in, it felt like home. That's why we bought it.
The house sits near the center of Middletown, away from the Susquehanna River and Swatara Creek. It's not in a floodplain. But it's flooding more regularly now. It first happened in 2011 with Tropical Storm Lee.
This is from 2017. This is our front yard.
In a video Samantha plays from her laptop, brown water covers the front yard. The street looks like a river. The 2017 storm dropped 4 inches of rain in an hour. It wasn't named, and the damage it caused didn't warrant a disaster declaration. But it left its mark. Samantha's son was 3 at the time.
He bawled. He was so scared. He was shaking. I had to carry him through the water up the street to my aunt because she was taking him out to my uncle's house to stay, since he couldn't stay here. It was too dangerous for him.
I thought, that's it. We're going to lose everything, you know? And it didn't comprehend with me how this could be happening. It really didn't. All those years, you figure, since 1996 to 2011, we were fine. And then all of a sudden, you know, it starts.
Researchers at Penn State Harrisburg are trying to figure out all the factors driving this. On Main Street, at the Middletown Area Historical Society, student Travis Peters is taking measurements.
So the soil moisture is at 9.4%, which is actually lower than the rest so far.
Professor Shirley Clark watches. After the 2017 flood, the borough asked her to help pinpoint the problems so it can be as effective as possible in funding solutions. She started with records at the Pennsylvania State Museum.
And I looked, there is a buried stream underground at the bottom of this hill that's in our sewer pipes. That's not showing on any of the maps.
That stream is Bloody Run. It was shunted into a pipe and paved over between the 1930s and 50s. Clark thinks it's likely the stream runs near the Sharps' house. Clark and her students are now trying to figure out the relationship between forgotten streams, rainfall rates, soil moisture, and flooding.
And it's an area that we just don't have enough information on overall.
Bloody Run, likely named for the slaughterhouses that used to sit alongside it, starts north of the Pennsylvania Turnpike and flows roughly along where Middletown's Spruce Street is now. It's briefly visible between Oak Hills Park and East High Street before it disappears underground again. Many cities have similar buried streams: Harrisburg, Lancaster, Philadelphia, New York, and Boston. Somewhere in their histories, planners decided the streams were a nuisance or thought they should be replaced with buildable land. But the thing about water, the more you try to squeeze it, the faster it runs out of your hand.
You put more water in the ground, raise the groundwater. You put compaction in, and you basically create a very shallow bowl that's got a whole water. Then that water's going to run somewhere, and the more of it runs off, it's going to find the easiest place to go.
With more intense storms, floodwaters are now showing up where they didn't before, outside flood zones designated by the federal government. Clark and her team will gather and examine hard data, but they will also focus on the stress repeated flooding causes for people who live in Middletown. It will be up to the borough to use the information to come up with fixes.
So the real goal is to get some on-the-ground data so that when we start targeting solutions, we're targeting the problem. And we're actually going to provide a solution rather than investing money into something that we thought would work and isn't.
For one example, the borough could look to Dubuque, Iowa.
You know, over a period of 12 years, we had six rainstorms that produced presidential disaster declarations. So the first was in 1999.
Darren Meering is a civil engineer for Dubuque. He headed up a sweeping solution that included uncovering or daylighting a buried creek.
And in fact, if you would have, you know, 20 years ago shown me the picture of it and said, you know, this is what you're going to build, I probably would have said, there's no way we're going to be able to build that. We wouldn't be able to afford that.
The former B Branch sewer became the B Branch Creek again, with park space and walking trails. The city bought out about 100 properties to make room for the project and move people out of the flood risk area. Meering says they tried to build for the future. Usually engineers design for the 100-year event, meaning something with a 1% chance of happening each year. Dubuque built for the 500-year event.
It made sense for us to design for that 500 year so that we were in a better position to accommodate whatever the future might hold in terms of rainfall.
The plan did face criticism. Some people were outraged that the city was considering demolishing homes. Some said the price offered for their properties wasn't enough, and others did not want to see utility bills go up because of the upgrades. But Meering says the project is working. In July, the city broke a daily rainfall record with more than 2 inches in a few hours, but there was no flooding. Meering says now the B Branch Creek is seen as an asset.
In fact, there was an ad in the newspaper for a house in the area, and it said B Branch frontage.
Middletown and Dubuque have some similarities, but Middletown is a borough of less than 10,000 people, while Dubuque has nearly 60,000 residents. It cost about $160 million just to daylight B Branch, not including other infrastructure upgrades. Middletown will likely have a smaller budget for solutions. People like Deb Sharp want to see fixes soon. She worries whenever it rains.
Hopefully we're good to go, but I just don't want to keep going through this. I don't know, like, could it actually collapse my house from so much water? You know, always rushing.
But solutions will take time. Dubuque's B Branch project took more than a decade from design through completion. Middletown is just getting started. Rachel McDevitt, State Impact, Pennsylvania, Middletown.